Hey, everybody. I'm Matthew Ilaria, and you're watching the Faith for Life broadcast. Now, we're coming to you today from inside the sanctuary at North Smoke Church. And on the next three episodes of the broadcast, we're going to be airing a message that we did a while back called The Chastisement of Our Peace. Friend, this was a powerful message, and I believe it's going to be a great blessing to you. Now, in this teaching, we are discovering the great price that Jesus paid for our peace, and we're going to find out that God is highly interested in and highly invested in us doing well in this life and beyond. Now, in the first part of this message on today's episode, you're going to discover that Jesus came into the earth to reestablish the well-being of mankind that Adam and Eve lost in the garden. Friend, this is a powerful message, and I believe it's going to be a great help to you. Let's watch.
Open your Bibles to Genesis chapter 1. We're going to get into the Word today. Praise God. It is a celebration today. We are celebrating. But you can't celebrate something. You can only celebrate something that's happened to the degree that you know what happened. Right? And so the more light you have, the more revelation you have about what exactly happened on the cross and in the resurrection, the better you'll be able to shout about it. Yeah. Well, there's two amens. Huh? The more light, the more revelation you have, more you see, more you can shout about. Yeah. Right? And one thing that I've observed over the years, and even saw some of this in my own life, is that when it comes to Jesus's life, his suffering, his death, his burial, his resurrection, most Christians have a very surface level knowledge of this. And when it comes to what exactly he did, how exactly he did it, and why exactly he did it, a lot of times you talk to Christians and we throw around very vague, general statements. Why did Jesus do that? To forgive my sin, so I could go to heaven, so I wouldn't go to hell. And you can tell it's very surface level. And a lot of times it's not revelation to people. Or if it is, it doesn't have much depth to it. And so years ago, when we pastored the church, I hadn't done any Easter or Christmas services. And so years ago when we started pastoring, I was unsatisfied with my own level of light revelation on some of these things. And so I asked the Lord for some. I asked Him to help me. I think I said, Lord, this is pathetic. I'm hungering for something deeper, not these general vague phrases that people throw around that really, I mean, you throw them around so much they almost mean nothing when you say them. I mean, you don't even know what it means. You just say it. and so I pray. I remember praying, Lord, help me. I want to see. I want to know. I want depth. Give me revelation of this. And I can say He has answered my prayer. Every time we've got ready to do a service like this, you know, every time He answers my prayer, and I'll see something else, and I'll hear something else from Him, and it'll give me depth, and then I shout a little bit more about it, celebrate a little bit more. Yeah. And so anytime, and I say this almost every time before we talk about this message, because people come to church on Easter and a lot of people are just looking for their run-of-the-mill Easter service. Just give me the plot and let me get out of here. Well, I apologize. If that's why you came here, you came to the wrong church. I mean, that's not what we're doing here. We're hungry to see, hungry to know. And we don't pretend that we know all there is to know about it. Because as much as we think we know, there's a whole lot more we don't know about what He did, how He did it, why He did it. Yep. Right? Praise God. So I've humbled myself and I've acknowledged, Lord, I don't know all there is to know about this. I would encourage you to do the same thing. Because that right there will open you up to hear and to receive more revelation and light on it. If you come in like, well, I already know all there is to know, then you have been capped. You know all you will know, but you won't know all there is to know about it.
Right. Yep.
And so you want to humble yourself. And get excited about this because this today is the main point of where all this other stuff comes from. Praise God. And so have you found Genesis chapter 1 yet? Well, Father, we do thank you today, Lord, for your word. And Lord, we hook faith together today. All of us in the house, all of us watching online together. And Lord, we say we are hungry to know more. We are hungry for more revelation, more light about your life, your coming, your suffering, your crucifixion, your resurrection. Lord, we want to know more about why, more about how, more about what you did. And we thank you that by your Spirit today, you're revealing those things to us. You're giving us answers to questions, help and grace to receive what you have for us to receive. And we thank you for anointing and utterance for this part of the service. And we ask you today to get glory to yourself. In Jesus' name, can you say amen? Amen. All right, Genesis chapter 1 and verse 31. This is after God had created everything and after he created the man. It says in verse 31, "And God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good." It was very good. And so he's finished with his creation, and he looked around, and he said, "This is very good. This is very good." Now, if God says it's good, it must be good because he'd have a very high standard. Now, this word good means it's easy to just throw a word like that away. But if you look it up in the Hebrew, it means well. It means beautiful. It means bountiful. One word that you run into is prosperity, wealth, rich, excellent. Let me read those two words again. Because God, when he got done, he said, it's very this. It's very well, very beautiful, very bountiful, very prosperous, very wealthy, very rich, very excellent. This is what he said about his creation. And he didn't just say it was good. He said it's very good. Very means it's exceedingly bountiful. It's exceedingly good. It's exceedingly well. It's exceedingly rich. It's exceedingly prosperous. It's exceedingly flourishing. These kinds of things. Yeah. And so if you saw it, you wouldn't go, "Is that it?" You would have went, "Ooh, ah, wow." And that was just looking at one flower. Huh? Just looking at one flower, you'd be mesmerized by that one flower for the next 6 days. You'd just be going, "Whoo, look at that." That's how good it was. Everything was strong. Everything was vibrant. Everything was pristine, healthy and wealthy and flourishing and thriving. And then in chapter 2, it says that he formed a garden, planted a garden eastward in Eden. And there he put the man in the garden. Now, the word Eden, if you look that word up, it means luxury. Say luxury. You look it up yourself. Don't look at me like that. Look it up. That's what it means. It means luxury. It means pleasure or the enjoyment of good. One word you find is delicacy. Say delicacy. Yes. Something that's very fine or something that's very high quality. And so God planted a garden in this place of luxury. And there, that's where he put the man. In this nice place, this flourishing place. Huh?
Yes.
Do you see this? Where'd he put the man? In a barren place. In a death-filled place. In a gray, dark, drab, decayed. No, he created this. Everything he created was good. Then he put this man in put his man in a good place.
Yes.
From looking at that verse, the couple of these verses, can you tell what God likes?
Yes.
Yes.
What does he like? He likes good.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's what he likes. Elsewise, he wouldn't have made it like that.
That's right.
I mean, if you get ready to make something, you know what you're going to make? You're going to make what you like.
That's
We had the privilege of building our house 10 or 12 years ago. And you know what kind of house we built? One we liked, right? Because it's our house. And so we picked out colors we liked. We set it up the way we liked it because it's our place. And God created something, and he created it everything good, everything prosperous, everything flourishing, everything bountiful, everything strong, a nice luxurious place, put the man there, and he did that because that's what he likes. And if you're not sure about that, go read the scriptures about heaven, and then you'll find the gold streets and the pearly gates, and there's no curse there. No, that's what he likes. He likes when things are well. That's what he likes. Well, somebody said, well, what happened? Well, Romans 5:12 says this. You can put that on the screen. It said that by one man, sin entered into the world, and death by sin, so death passed upon all men. And so this is what happened. Death entered the earth. That's wonderful. Of course, it's no shock that it's wonderful God wrote it. But that's a wonderful way to say it, that death, sin entered the world. And then you could say it like this, death entered by sin. Where did it enter? It entered into the earth. It entered into this realm. Why did it enter? Because it wasn't there before. Did you see that? God didn't create death for this place. It entered. And death, it's important that you remember that death is not just something that happens to your body or something that happens to the grass or something like that. Death is a force. Hebrews 2:14 talked about that we've been delivered from the power of death. So death is a force. And what it does is death works to weaken, decay, and destroy everything in sight. That's what death does. Say that with me. Weaken, decay, destroy. Now, it doesn't matter how old you are. Anybody over the age of, 25, or 35 maybe, I don't know, something like that, you start to see a little death on your body. It happens, the effects of death on your body. Because your body, if Jesus doesn't come back soon, you're going to leave your body and your body is going to die. It's going to go back to the dust of the earth. A while back, I was doing the broadcast. I don't know why I tell you these personal things. I don't care, I guess. I'm just free. I was doing the broadcast, and the broadcast has got a nice HD camera, and it's zoomed in, and I'm sitting at that desk, and I had all these gray hairs growing in this one patch right here. Looked like a bearded skunk, man. And so I told Amber, I said, why don't I just color that a little bit? And so I started to color it. And then, whatever. Like the way, hid that up and whatever. But you know what now somebody said, why is it so gray today? Well, I'm not going to get all into it, but the dye started to make my face itch. And so it's either scratch my face till it burned or just let it, Plus, it's been long enough now the grays are starting to come in more. Do you know what that is? Somebody said, that's distinguished. No, that's that's death. That's what death does that. Don't look at me like that. Find a wrinkle on your body. Find a wrinkle. Somebody said, I don't have any. Okay. Wrinkles, aging. That's all the effects of death on your body. Now, we believe around here in healing. We believe around here in our youth being renewed. Yeah, I mean, you might not be as strong as you are when you're 90 as you were when you were 40, but you can be one of the strongest 90-year-olds around, right? And be sharp in your mind and praise God. We believe in those things. But that's the effect of death. It just works to weaken, decay, and destroy stuff. And then here now, death enters this pristine place, this place where everything was good, and then death enters. And I like the Living Bible because the Living Bible says that his sins spread death throughout the whole world. So everything began to grow old and die. Everything began to grow old and die. That's the Living Bible. Why did everything begin to grow old and die? Because everything was kissed by death. And so even the creation, the trees, the You know, all the tornadoes and hurricanes and earthquakes and droughts and all of that is the work of this death force. I mean, you know, we look at this earth and some, you know, we like to go to Florida in the summertime. And we go in the wintertime now for a conference, too. We like it then, too, don't we? We like it both times. But you go out there and you think, you look at that ocean, and you look at that beach and those trees, and you think, man, look at what God created. But then you have to remind yourself, this is his creation in a fallen state. This is what his creation looks like messed up. Well, if that's what it is, messed up, what must it look like not messed up? Yeah. Shoo-wee. Yeah. Might need a 3-week vacation, you know, something. But death has that effect where it just destroys everything inside, ruins everything. And you need to remember this about the devil. Destruction is his aim. That is what he's after. His thirst is not quenched until something is destroyed. And then the moment it is, he wants more of it. There's scriptures that point to this. In Revelation 9:13, it called him Apollyon, which actually means destroyer. Destroyer. 1 Peter 5:8 said that he roams the earth looking for whom he may devour. Now, it's note that there. It didn't say he roams the earth looking for who he can get to sin. I'm going to come back to that in a second. In John 10:10, Jesus said, "The thief comes not but for to steal, kill, and destroy." Do you notice in there it didn't say anything about he comes to get people to sin? Didn't say that. I'll talk about that in a second. What is his aim? To devour, to destroy. He is the destroyer. He wants to see things destroyed in your body. He wants to see things destroyed for you in this life, doesn't he? I mean, he'd like to break you down in your mind, in your body, have you full of sickness and disease, have you full of anxiety and depression in your mind and your emotions. You go home and your marriage is destroyed and your kids are nuts. You look into your accounts and you have no money. You know, you got things broke in your house. You can't fix it. This is what he likes. It's what he wants. All the way till he wants your spirit destroyed. Then, so that way when you leave your body, you'll go to eternal death, which is not eternal. The word death there doesn't mean you cease to exist. Eternal death means you're going to go to an eternal place of where it's just destruction and decay and death and bad forever. Yes. That's what he wants. The sin part is just a means to an end for him. Did you notice how in that Romans 5:12, did you notice how the death got in? By one man, sin entered into the world. And how did the death get here? By the sin. See, the only reason he cares about you sinning is because sin lets him in. The devil doesn't just like to go like this, got you to cuss. Got you to whatever your other sins are, lie, cheat, steal, gotcha. He's not happy with gotcha. He wants the access. He wants in. And the way he gets in is when you yield to him, and then he gets in. And why does he come? Come on, help me out. Why does he come? He only comes to steal, kill, and destroy. That's why he wants you to yield to him. And religion has this perverse obsession with sin, where, you know, we talk about this today. All we're going to talk about is sin. Sin, sin, sin. Forgive me of my sins. Lying, cheating, cussing, stealing. We're going to nail our sins. We're going to write all our sins down, and we're going to nail them on the cross. Just so obsessed with sin. There's something bigger that happened than just the sin. It was the destruction.
Yeah, yeah.
Jesus gave us victory over death. That's what we needed victory over.
Yeah.
And so the sin was part of it. Don't misunderstand me. But don't obsess just about, there was something else going on, and it was the death. That was the effect of sin. That's what the enemy wanted to do. He is a destroyer, and sins was a mean to an end for him. Now, you parallel that destruction. What's Satan want? He wants everything decayed, destroyed, just, you know, he wants everything devoured. That's what the scripture said in Isaiah 24:6. It said the curse devoured the earth, devoured it, just messed it up. That's what he likes. Now, you parallel that to Genesis 1:31, when God got done creating everything, everything was good. Everything was strong. Everything was thriving. Everything was flourishing. And so, after man sins, he's got a problem, doesn't he?
Yes.
Got a big problem. And it's a problem for which he has no answer for. After he sinned and let the devil in and death is in the earth, he's got no answer for this. Education, politics, intellect, science can't solve this problem. We need some help,
yes.
Right? And this is why Jesus came. 1 John 3:8 said that for this purpose, the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Say destroy.
Destroy,
destroy means to undo what the devil did. Now, after man sinned, he was left in this condition. His spirit died. I guess I shouldn't get moved too quick. We are spirit beings. Man is three parts: spirit, soul, and body. You and I are spirit beings. We live in physical bodies. Our bodies are not us. Our bodies are like the suit that we live in. You are not your body. When a person leaves their body stays in the earth, but they go somewhere else. And so if it's not real to you that you're three parts, the day you leave your body, it'll be real to you. In fact, there are testimonies of people who left their body and then ended up coming back to the earth. And one of the things they would say is they would leave their body and then they look down and they go, that's me. And I think one of them said, well, that can't be me because I'm here. They're hovering over their body. Spirits. Spirit, soul, and body. Spirit, you know what your spirit is, your body is, your soul is, your mind, your emotions. That part of you. And after man sinned, he changed inside in his spirit. He went from life to death. He went from righteous to unrighteous on the inside. It was quite a fall from where he was in here. And not only that happened, but death infected his body, which comes back to this aging part that we were talking about. And so before he sinned, his body was never going to age. I mean, can you imagine? It was going to be, boom, just perfect forever. But now he sinned and death kisses his body. And so now his body will age and waste away and decay. And because of the condition of his spirit, when his body does die, his spirit's going to leave and it's going to go into a place of eternal death, because you can't get into heaven with a spirit that is unrighteous, unholy, ungodly. You can't get into heaven in that condition. Do you see this? He's in bad shape. And so you can imagine the state he's living in. He knows that my body's dying. And when my body dies, I got to leave my body. And when I leave my body, I know where I have to go then, eternal death, because I can't get into heaven like this. Can you imagine the fear of death that would loom over that man? When you think earth is a cursed earth is as good as it's going to get for me. And then when I leave my body, it's only going to get worse. And so this fear of death loomed over him, infecting his mind and his emotions with fear and these kinds of things, sorrow. He's in bad shape. I like to say it like this: man was not doing well at this time. And come on, some of you guys are all getting long faces. Come on, you know the end of the story, right? Why did Jesus come? Came to undo it.
Yes.
Right? Man was not doing well. Things were not going well. Jesus came to undo what the devil did. He came to reestablish the well-being of mankind back.
Yes.
He came to get it back to Genesis 1:31. Everything's good. Right? Everything's good. That's what he came to get back.
Yes.
Praise God. Aren't you thankful for it?
Yes.
Luke 19:10, we can put that one on the screen. It says that the Son of Man came to seek and save that which was lost. Say that with me: to seek and save that which was lost. Now, this is why you got to study and look up things, because this is one of those phrases people throw around. Well, what does that mean? A lot of times people read that verse and they kind of mean, they think it means, well, we were kind of in this clouded, unsaved state, lost. And Jesus came to save us so we wouldn't be lost. Well, that's very surface level. Lost here means perishing, or the word ruined, which is a great word for it. Mankind, spirit, soul, and body, was ruined by sin and death, along with all of God's creation.
Yes.
Ruined. His spirit was ruined. His soul was ruined. His body was ruined. This body that was never supposed to die, never supposed to age, now it wrinkles and it hurts and it gets sick. It's ruined. This spirit that was created in God's image after God's likeness, this spirit that was righteous and holy and full of love and full of light, now it's full of death and darkness. It's been ruined. And this soul that was only supposed to experience peace and joy and happiness now has been infected with sorrow and fear and anxiety and depression, these things, ruined. Why did Jesus come? He came, the word save here means to rescue. He came to rescue us from this ruin, right? We weren't doing well. He came to rescue us. Came to reestablish our well-being. Praise God. I like the way that sounds. Let's say it together. Jesus came to rescue me from ruin. From ruin. Praise God.
Oh, friend, wasn't that a good teaching? When I went back and watched that, it blessed me and it encouraged me. And I hope that it did the same for you today. Now, I want to take a second, if you're in the St. Louis metro area, to invite you to join us on Sunday mornings at 10 a.m. at North Smoke Church. Friend, our services are rich with God's presence, the teaching is rich, and I know you will enjoy it if you visit us here at North Smoke Church. If you're hungry for the Word of God and hungry for the presence of God, you will love it at North Smoke. It is a great place to go to church. If you'd like to plan your visit, you can go to northsmokechurch.com and click on the link that says plan a visit. And friend, you can let us know you're coming. You can find out more information about the services, but we would love to have you sometime, and we hope to see you soon.
Thank you for watching the Faith for Life broadcast. Go to mam.tv to download the free study notes from today's broadcast. You can also request your free copy of our mini book, Faith Declarations. In this book, you'll find declarations from the Word of God that will feed your faith and help you experience victory in your life. Please subscribe to our YouTube channel and follow us on Facebook and Instagram. Today's broadcast was made possible by the partners of Matthew Alaria Ministries and the members of North Smoke Church. Go to mam.tv to become a partner today and help us take the message of faith to this generation.